Okay, first I wanted to thank the sponsors for breakfast, the Stolmans again, the Homa Shabbacha for sponsoring. I think it's the third week in a row they've sponsored, and an anonymous sponsor, so thank you. And anyone who wants to sponsor down the line, feel free to reach out to me, or Menachem Lewin, or Ephraim. So this topic is, of course, a very relevant topic. I don't have that much exposure to it, but I had a little bit of exposure. I did work for some time in PricewaterhouseCoopers, and I interned there 2 summers. And for the summer internships, they send us out different places as part of training for a few days. And my first summer there, they sent us to Chicago, which is a very interesting experience. They sent me up in a hotel with some guy who wasn't Jewish, some guy who was in the army. It was a very interesting experience, the whole thing. He came back at 3 o'clock in the morning. I woke up at 6 o'clock in the morning. Very different schedules. Either way, he wanted to encourage me to go out drinking with him and the other co-workers, which I certainly did not. But that was my first exposure, culture shock. And then again, when I went, when I worked there full time, I spent a year working in PricewaterhouseCoopers as an actuary. So they sent us to Philadelphia for a few days of training. And there I was with another firm guy. And after the training for the day, they all went out drinking. They asked me to come. And I, of course, said, I will not come with you drinking. But the other guy with the yarmulke went out drinking, made me look bad. And needless to say, 15 years later or so, I don't think he's from at all. Not that's the reason why he didn't become from, but I am Baruch Hashem, and I don't think he is. But it's a challenging thing in the workforce of having to deal with drinking, going out drinking for coffee, alcohol, beer with coworkers, clients, employers. Let's go through the sugya now. The sugya begins in a Gemara Avodah Zarah. This is the first sourced Gemara number one here. Avodah Zarah Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara tells us Itmar Bipnei Ma Asru Sheichar She'ov De Kochavim. What's the reason why the Chachamim says it's prohibited to drink beer made by a non-Jew? So the Gemara says Rami Bar Chama Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Mishum Chasus, because it's going to lead to intermarriage. Now Rashi explains what's the intermarriage. So Rashi says, not because you and they assume that the women were not going out working. You're going to go drink with another man. So the concern was you might make a shidduch between your son and their daughter, or your daughter and their son. So if you get to build a relationship with them, you go out drinking at the local bar, this might evolve into something of a friendship and make a business deal, and let's have our children get married to each other. So the isser is mishum chasnus, is going to lead to a marriage, which of course is going to be a tremendous isser. Gemara goes on to suggest another reason. There might be an issue of kashrus. Gemara ends up rejecting it. The concern is not a kashrus concern. The concern is building a relationship. It's a social concern. So then the Gemara says, this is still number one. I'm reading just the second paragraph of number one. So the Gemara has a ma'aseh that Rav Papa, mafikin lei, mafikin, he took out. He bought beer. The Gruff famously, after Pesach, he would stop along the way from shul at the local pub, buy some beer to say Avdallah on, because he wanted to show he really loved chametz. He really loved, not the beer per se, but he loved chametz. And he wanted to show, I'm holding back anyways from having chametz on Pesach, and I'm showing the moment I have a chance to, I can't hold back, I need my chametz. So he made Avdallah on beer to show that he really wanted the chametz, but he was listening to the Gezeres HaMelech. So this is an in to have a beer. So Rav Papa, many years, generations earlier, he went to the local beer, the local bar rather, and Rav Papa Mafikin Lei took the beer out, La Bava de Chanusa, the entrance of the store, Vishase. So we see from here he didn't drink inside the bar, he bought it and then stepped outside and drank there. So there's an Isser only inside the store, inside the house is the concern. And Rav Achai, the Gemara says, did something a little bit further. It wasn't enough for Vachai to step outside the bar, but he had to take it home. And only once he steps inside his house, that's where he drank. V'tarvayu, says Gemara, both of them, Rav Papa and Rav Achai, did this because of Mishum Chasnus. They didn't want to socialize. So one felt it was good to just, once I'm in the street, there's no socializing in the street. And one thought, no, you need to go inside your house where you're protected and not to drink with Jews there, going there. So the concern, again, is not a kashrus concern. The concern of socializing. And the Gemara concludes, Rav Achai Avid Hachaka Yisei Rasa. He did an extra distancing. He wanted to be even further away from Rav Papa. So the concern is chasnas, making a shidduch, and socializing. That's the basics of the Gemara. And it's brought down in Halach and Shulchan Aruch. Number 3, Shulchan Aruch says very clearly, Asu chachamim lechel pashel amimim of the chachavim mishim chasnus. This is talking about pas akum right now, which is a similar idea of you can't have pas akum, a bread made by a non-Jew because of a chasnus, similar to sheichar beer. But the Rama adds in very importantly, vafilu v'makum deleka mishim chasnus aser. It's prohibited even when there is no concern of chasnus. What does that mean? So the Taz says, let's say a person doesn't have a child. So there's no concern of, it's not between me and my coworker. The concern is marrying my daughter to their son or my son to their daughter. So if someone doesn't have a child or the children are all married, so then this shouldn't be a concern and maybe you can go out drinking sheikhar with a non-Jew. So the Taz says, no, it's a low plug. Whether or not the reason's still relevant, there's an issur to go out drinking mishim chasnus. This is the halacha brought down in Shulchan Aruch. So this is going to be a big problem for many of us. So Gemara says, let's go weiter now. So Tosfos writes in number 5. Historically, when did this gzeira come into effect? When were they gozer that one should not drink beer with a non-Jew? Tosfos writes in number 5. This is on that same Gemara of Avodah Zarah. Iser sheichar lo matzinu lo b'misha lo b'braisa. There's no Tanaic source. There's no Mishnah that discusses this. There's no Braisa that discusses this. V'shema b'mei ha'amaroyim asru. Perhaps, he doesn't know. Tosa suggests maybe this came in the period of Amoraim. Some point after the 6th century it came about, and it was a later gzera. That's what Tosa points out. Now there's a very nice Aruch HaShulchan, he says, he explains why that's historically true. Why was this not their decree already from the times of the Mishnayos? They were not, you can't drink wine with a non-Jew. That existed much earlier. So how come beer was only a later Isra, a later decree, only in the times of Amoraim? So let's read to the Aruch HaShulchan now for a little bit of a history of how this came about. Number 6. Aruch HaShulchan, I'm reading just the bold here, writes, Mipnei she'be'eretz Yisrael haya ikra shtia yayin. What was the main staple? What was the drink that they drank in Eretz Yisrael? Wine. Wine was very common. And sheicher lo haya matzah lehem. Apparently, beer was not very common in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, he says, he points out, that's why in Eretz Yisrael, one's allowed to, the halacha is, you can make a havdalah on wine, but you can't make havdalah on beer. That's the halacha. Aval, he writes in the bold, bibavel, haya riboy tamarim, there's a lot of dates in Bavel, v'hayu behen harbe osei sheichar, and beer was very common in Bavel. We have many gemaras. Ula once went to visit in Bavel, Gemara Taina says, and he saw how dates were so cheap. He said, I don't understand. You could buy dates for so cheap here, and you guys don't need a parnasa. You guys should be learning all day. I don't understand it. So he bought a bunch of dates for a few cents, and then that night he had a terrible stomach ache from having so many dates. He says, now the fact that you guys are able to learn is very impressive, because it's like having knives in your stomach. But we see from that Gemara that dates were very common. And dates, what was they used? Dates to make beer. I don't know if you could find beer made from dates anymore. I don't know that industry. But there, back then, sheichar shel tamarim, the beer was made from dates. So in Bavel, where dates were more relevant, they had beer there. So that's why the Gemara says you can make havdalah on beer in Bavel. The Gemara says, it's not the Mishnah. In Bavel, where beer was the chamer medina, that was the main staple of the drink, was beer. So that's because in Bavel they had beer. They had a lot of dates. So that's what he goes on to say further. Aruch HaShulchan, look at the last bold line in number 6. V'lachein ha'maroim huchrochu ligzor gam b'sheichar ach lo gazu mamish kal yayin. In Eretz Yisrael, where nobody drank beer, there's no need for a gzeira, because that wasn't something that they drank together. Wine was the ikker drink. So they said no drinking wine with non-Jews. Beer, it's not a concern. It's milsa de lo shchicha. It's uncommon. But in Bavel, the times of the Maroim, so now beer was the main staple. So now they said, wait a second, now people are starting to drink together beer. This is not a good thing. So then they were gozer, you can't drink beer with non-Jews either. And that's the explanation, says Aruch HaShulchan, as to why this was a later decree. Now there's a very subtle machlokis in the Rishonim, the nature of this gezeira. Or I should say, was it really a gezeira or not? Look what the Beis Yosef writes in the top of page number 2. Beis Yosef writes, he's quoting from a Rajba in Tars Habayis. Tars Habayis was a sefer, again, written by the Rajba. It's basically the halachas of Yoredeya. A very, very important sefer for those who want to learn Yoredeya. Bas B'chalav. It's Tars Habayis. The Rajba writes in number 7, Sheichar lo migzeras chachamim ha'yisa. It was not a decree. It wasn't a gzera. Ela minhag kedoshim shenagu ba harchaka. It was a very praiseworthy practice, but not a gzera. It was minhag kedoshim. It was a hachaka, but it wasn't instituted. It wasn't enforced. It wasn't a gzera. It was a hachaka, a distancing. And he brings a great proof from the Gemara. Because look what he writes. L'yisrachek misiba shalahem, to distance from their partying. And he, what's his proof? Hainu da amru, that's what the Gemara said. Mipnei ma amru sheikh ashagayim aser, velo amru mipnei ma gazu. The Gemara doesn't ask why weren't they gozer. It doesn't use the word gozer. The Gemara says, mipnei ma amru. Why did they say beer should not be drinking with the non-Jews? Because it wasn't a gezera, says the Rashba. It was a minag kedoshim mishim harchaka, distancing away. That's the shita of the Rashba. And the Rambam says differently, I think. I think the Rambam is a very, I guess, not such a crazy diuk here, but I think it's clear from the Rambam in number 8, Hilchos Machal Sasuros. He writes, V'yesham dvar macherim. There are other things. This going through all the Isur deraisa. Now he's introducing the Isur derabanan. There are other things, Asur osan chachamim, that the chachamim prohibited. V'yafa pishein li'isurim ikir min ha-Torah, even though there's no basis in the Torah, gazru aleim. He used the word gezeira. The Rambam holds that there was a gezeira. Why? K'dei l'esrachek min ha'akum, to distance from the goyim. And he goes on to bring one of the examples. Is the first one is asur lishos imahem va'afil b'makum shein lachush liyai nesach. You can't drink anything. We're going to get to what types of drinks. You can't drink at all with the non-Jews because it's a gezeira. The Rambam holds it's a gezeira, while the Rashba holds it's a harchaka, to minag kedoshim. So what's a nafkamina? I think a nafkamina would be, let's say, the Gemara in Shabbos tells us, the person violates, who are you allowed to call an avaryan? An avaryan is a person who violates an aveira. Who qualifies as an avaryan? So certainly a person who violates an iser deraisa is called an avaryan. It's a title. You violate aveiras. The Gemara says if a person violates an iser midirabanan, a gzera, you're also called an avaryan. The Gemara is talking about going in baths on Shabbos, where there's a gzera. If the water is heated before Shabbos, so there's no malacha going on, but still gzeiras habalanim. They made a gzeira. You cannot enter into a bath on Shabbos. That gets involved. Could you go to a mikvah on Shabbos? Another discussion. But the Gemara there says a person who violates this gzeira is called an avaryon. He's called a violator of averos, even though it's a gzeira midrabanim. So I think if you hold like the Rambam that the issur to drink with a guy is a gzeira, so the person who violates this would be called an avaryon. If it's simply a minhag kadoshim, that certain people who are consider themselves kadosh practice this, though those who don't consider themselves don't practice this, I don't think they'd be considered an avaryon. So that title, would a person get an avaryon title if they were to violate this minhag / gezeira? I think there's a clear nafkamina though, whether there's a gezeira or a minhag, yeah.
Working every single day, I mean, and they're kind of focusing on the drinking. But if you're working every single day, I'm in meetings with them, I'm not socializing with them in the office. You're interacting with them on a daily basis. Is the sheikhar the actual problem? No one's talking about getting drunk. They're just talking about you're dealing with them on a regular basis.
Working is not socializing. Drinking is socializing.
But in the work context, practically, you're not just going to their office, asking a work question, and leaving. You're being a social human.
No, that's part of being human. You can't be a brick wall when you go to the meeting and you have to say good morning to the secretary and say hello. But at the same time, once you're having a sit-down, a meal, a conversation, and not in the context of an office, so that would be a different story. Now, Binyamin Benj asked a very good question. What about golfing? Golfing, you're socializing there. You're just getting to know. You're networking. So we're not going to make additional gzeiras that they didn't make back then. The logic would dictate maybe one shouldn't golf, but the Chacham didn't make such a gzeira, so we're not going to make further gzeiras as well. Now, there's certain things you have to do.
There's no mitzvah. I mean, you didn't have office set up at the time of the Gemara either. Working in the fields or whatever they were doing, it was a different context. They weren't enclosed in the same place
right
now. Right. Play games or something like that.
What do you mean?
I mean, the Xer could have been saying if they want, meaning they could have done things in their lives like that, playing games. They had games back then.
Right.
Those are games.
Okay, we don't know exactly what they did. I can't imagine they had these like big tournaments, you know, in terms of networking like we have nowadays.
Cards.
But either way, even how much cards, I don't know if it was viewed as a way of building networking with clients. I don't know. But it wasn't a gzera.
At that time, Jews really were separate from everybody else.
No, but the Tosas talks about in Bava Metzia, in of ribbis, taking ribbis from a non-Jew. And they talk about the Rabbeinu Tam there writes that it was essential that they had to have a heter to take ribbis from non-Jews because that's the only way to do business. So it was part of society. They did business with non-Jews.
But the socializing part of it, I don't think, was as much as we have now.
So if we go into the ball game with the initiative.
Very good. So I actually asked this question a number of years ago. If going to a baseball game, would that be considered a place of socializing and drinking? If one goes to a Yankee game, so most people who are sitting down low are not going because they love the Yankees. They're going because the client or someone got it for them, and they're going to meet with a coworker or a client. It's more a place of drinking and socializing. Is it that considered a place of like a bar? So we'll have to get to later on a little bit about some of the definitions of what's considered a place of drinking. Rav Shechta at the time thought, I would have to revisit this, he thought if Yankee Stadium, which is the way I described it to him, he thought maybe it would be considered a place of drinking because people go to socialize and to network as opposed to watch the game. I don't know if anybody goes to Citi Field to watch the game either, but they don't go to socialize. I'm not sure why people go to Citi Field at all. But it might depend on why a person's actually going to the game, whether it's there to network or to socialize or to watch the game. That's another story. We're not talking Moshe Leitzin, but you're right. Moshe Leitzin, we'll see later on, someone mentions going to a coffee shop is considered Moshe Leitzin. But if you're there you're trying to meet someone and network with someone. So that, to me, if you're going to meet with a client, that's more productive than just going with a bunch of friends to go watch Ken Griffey Jr.
The new stadiums in particular are basically food courts with a stadium built in.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So you walk around, you can watch a game if you want, but you're... Right.
You can't go from one section to the other without going to see food and bars.
Right. So the question becomes, does that change the whole status of a stadium?
In the fancy seats, you can't get in without going through the bar.
Right. So again, I asked this question before the new Yankee Stadium was built, I think, and Schechter felt that it was a problem. It was considered a social venue.
I hear that.
Okay. So right now we have at least, is the nature of this Isser drinking, is that a gzera? Or is it a minag kedoshim? So the next discussion is what type of beer is usher, and that's going to, I think, hinge upon whether it's a gzera or whether it's a minag kedoshim. So again, back there, I mentioned back then, the type of beer they had came from tamarim, dates. So again, I don't know if we have that nowadays. I'm sure you can make it, but I don't know if it's sold anywhere. But Tosos writes, number 9, ubechlal din sheichar, what included under the category of beer? Bein sheicher shel tamarim, bein shel tevua. Whether it's made from date or whether it's made from other grains, like barley and stuff, and wheat, whatever other types of grains they use for making beer. So ours comes from hops, from barley. So that would be bechlal the isser of beer, even shel tevua. So he goes on a little bit of a tangent that shouldn't there maybe be an isser bishel akum? If he cooks it, you cook the barley, shouldn't that be bishel akum? So he says that beer is not ola al shulcha malachim. Another topic. But one of the criteria needed for something to be us because of bishlakum is has to be something that's going to be served on the table of the king. So something, let's say for example, tuna fish. Canned tuna fish. So the OU has a kula that even though tuna fish is cooked, you don't realize if it's cooked. It's not raw fish. It gets cooked, but it's cooked by a non-Jew. There's no mashkiach who turns on that fire. So some say that's considered an Isser Bishalakum. It's non-Jewish is cooking it. But, excuse me, the OU's shita is that anything canned, you would never serve a can of tuna fish on the president's table. Anything canned is not Bichlal, the Isser of Bishalakum. So too, Tosas writes, beer is not something you serve in the king's meal. Now, I don't know. It could be with the Trump in the office. Things are a little bit different then. I don't know. How do you define a king? How do you define a president? I'm not getting to that discussion right now. But Tosas writes, beer is not something that you serve on a shulchan malachim, and therefore there's no iser mitzad bishul akum. Then he says another reason why it's not bishul akum is because, I don't know the ratio of barley versus the water in it, but he says it's batel. Whatever amount of hops are in that beer, it's batel from rov water, and it's bitel. So just like he says, what bracha do you say on beer? Maybe you should say a mezonos, right? There's barley in there. So shouldn't you say a mezonos? The Tosis writes, since it's bittel, the mizonos are bittel. Oh, thank you. Since it's bittel, the barley's bittel, and the beer, regarding the shahakol, so to its bittel, legabe bishel akum. So there's no bishel akum by beer. But our concern right now is, Tosas writes, any type of beer is bechlal the iser. Whether it's from dates, or whether it's from barley, or wheat, or whatever else you could use to make beer. The Mordechai argues. The Mordechai writes in number 10, that the sheicher shelanu ein bo mishum chasnas. Our beer nowadays, now his days, I assume, was made from barley. So Mordechai is saying, the beer that we drink nowadays is not bechlal the iser. The only iser applied to sheicher of tamar, only dates. That's a very strange thing. Why would that be? Why would that be limited to only sheicher shel tamar?
It was matzah then.
So very, very simple. Look,
what?
It wasn't matzah. It wasn't found. They didn't have that type of beer back then. So it wasn't found. So what? Now it is found. So we should have the same type of gezerah. So look what the Beis Yosef says, and I think it's talay on what we said earlier, whether it's a gezerah or whether it's a minhag kedoshim. Beis Yosef writes in number 11. Nira shetamo, the reason of the Mordechai, why he limits it to date beer only, mipnei shesover, the chayven del ashkan, like you said, it wasn't found back then, sheyasa sheichar, ela me'ahi de rapap rav achai, the only gassard, the beer that rapap and rav achai drank, ein la'eser ela kimin sheicha shalahem, sheyahaya shel tamarim. It's only worthwhile to be gozer on their type of beer. So what's pshat? See, I'm sure you guys have seen some gemaras there, whenever there's a gezera, they only go there exactly how that maisa was. So if a maisa happened, there's a Gemara in Shabbos and Yuma, I forgot to look it up. There's some maisa that you're not supposed to wear a certain type of shoe on Yom Kippur. And because you might fall off and you might end up carrying it, and the Gemara says, well, that should be relevant on every single Yontif. Why dafka Yom Kippur on every single Shabbos? And why dafka that particular shoe? Any shoe, you might take it off. And so the Gemara says, when the Chacham make it a gezerah because of a maisa, only that maisa, every detail of that maisa is bichlal the gezerah. They never expanded beyond that. I'm trying to think of other examples. The Maharami Rutenberg. The Maharami Rutenberg was the Rebbe of the Rush. So one time he found the hard cheese in his mouth and when he's eating a piece of meat. And he said, I'm gozer now. You can no longer, you have to wait 6 hours after having Gvina Kasha. Because that's how it happened once. So maybe should we go there on Gvina Racha, also soft cheese, all types of Xeras? No, because the experience that he had was Dafka Gvina Kasha. There are many examples like this. When it comes to Nadav Aviu, one of the reasons why they were killed is because they were drunk when they entered into the Kodesh Kodashim. So there's a machlokes. Well, is the Isser only to have wine or to have anything alcoholic? It's a machlokes Tanayim. So I understand if it's anything alcoholic, that would be Isser. Why would you limit it to Dafka wine? If I drank beer, I could walk into the Kodesh Kedoshim, but it wouldn't be an Isser. So I think I once saw the Ramban say that since the initial Gzera was because Nadav Aviu drank wine Dafka, so the Isser is only on wine. It makes sense to apply it to other beer. We don't go that far. The impetus for the Isser was because of the Maisa Shahaya. The Maisa Shahaya was Yain. That's all there were gozer. So too the Mordechai says for our case. The gzera of drinking beer was only sheicher shel tamarim. That's what was the gzera. That was the details. So they never expanded it beyond that. That's if you assume it's a gzera. But if you assume it's a minhag kedoshim, just to take upon yourself to stay away, so then there's no reason to limit it. Anything that's going to create a further relationship with the non-Jew, certainly if it's drinking alcohol, that should be a great reason to distance yourself, whether it be wine, beer made from tamarim, made from hops, made from anything, you should always distance yourself if it's coming mitzad minhag kedoshim. So I think that's the machlokas here between the Mordechai and the Tosos. It hinges upon minhag kedoshim versus a gzera.
Amen.
So how do we paskin? So look at number 12, Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch writes, Kol sheichar shel kusim, this is for the Svardim, any beer of the non-Jews, echad sheichar shel tamarim, whether it comes from dates, o shel teinim, or from figs, you could use anything apparently to make beer, o shel saorim, o shel tevua, o shel dvash, honey, aser mishum chasnas. Shulchan Aruch paskins, it's a minhag kedoshim, stay far away from any alcoholic beverages. Rama writes, this next paragraph of number 12, Haggah. Yesh matirin the sheicher shall dvash v'tfua. There are those, quoting the Mordechai, who permit drinking of beer that's made from honey or made from grains, in which case our beer, bizman hazeh, would be completely permitted. V'chein nogin lahakil b'medinos elu. And that's how we practice. That's the shita of the Ramah. So I've spoken to people who asked me this question, and they say they really, really need to go to this party, they need to go to this bar, they need to meet with a client. So I said, you have the Ramah to rely on. The Ramah clearly writes that the chein nogin lahakil b'medinos elu, that our beer, bizman hazeh, is completely mutter. So you can walk away right now, leave the shir, and be happy with going out drinking with your coworkers and employers and clients, whatever it might be. But
the beer.
Wine is certainly usher, but beer would be mutter, vodka, whatever else, alcoholic beverages, which is not wine and not
grain-based.
What?
Grain-based.
Okay, grain-based. Yeah, anything grain-based would be permitted. If it's not wine, wine's usher, and date-based alcohol would be usher. Everything else, according to the Ramah, it's completely mutter. That's where we're right now.
Rice wine?
I don't know much about rice wine. Yeah, I don't know anything about these wines or much about alcohol.
Japanese.
But right now, that's how we walk away. I got two questions I see here. You guys could find it out. Okay.
What if there's a number of from people together with the yakum?
So number of other people with you.
Yeah, in other words, from a million of from people and I don't know.
Right. So I wasn't going to address that, but when we get to at the end about what's considered a base akum in a bar, non-Jewish bar, so according to some, if majority are from people, so then that would help you out. Others say no, if you are in a base akum, regardless of the number of Jews there, that would be a problem. But it's some say you can rely on that. So if majority are from, that is definitely a sheet that one can rely on.
So now you go out to a client dinner and they know you're from, they're getting you the best kosher food, not even plastic wrap, but with nice utensils. And because they know you're kosher, they've got an OU bottle of wine while they're all drinking their wine. And you can't even get away from the thing that you say, well, I'm sorry, I don't drink alcohol, because at some point you've had alcohol, and they know. So you have this bottle of kosher wine sitting in front of you, and now what?
I'm driving home tonight.
Yeah, be clever.
We'll get your number.
The wine's a different story, though. Right now we're beer. Beer, there's more cool. We'll see later on. The Tosfos writes Mishum Eva.
I know the beer, we're sort of okay, but I'm saying they bought you this bottle of,
So wine's another discussion. That's a whole. It's more serious when it comes to wine. Much more serious.
Is it on being there, or is it on drinking?
Very good. It's of drinking. Drinking with them. Isser is to drink it. To be there, in terms of this isser, there's no isser to be there. In terms of Maris Ayin, maybe, or just being a place of Kedusha versus not, that's another discussion. But mitzvah, this isser of drinking, to walk in, and people know nowadays, you go with clients all the time to these places, there wouldn't be an isser of Maris Ayin, seemingly. And it just in terms of obviously being an appropriate place, that's a whole other discussion depending on what's going on there. But the drinking, this would not be included in this isser, only if you're drinking.
If you're in a kosher restaurant and you have wine, you can't drink that with diet.
All right, if you're drinking wine, which is another discussion, maybe we'll do that next week. Next week I'm doing Ksiva Sefer Torah for the Hachnasa Sefer. Maybe in a few weeks we'll do wine, but wine's a whole other discussion. But to answer your question, you should not be drinking wine with non-Jews.
Even in a kosher restaurant.
I'll double check, I believe the issue of drinking wine is included entirely.
And nothing to do with Mavushal and non-Mavushal.
Yeah.
So Pavel walked out of the bar.
Yeah, he stepped out.
So we see that, and it doesn't call that an extra, like a Ravachai. That was even greater. Or Papa says, it seems like the baseline is to walk out, not to drink.
Right. But let's say you have like 15 from people with you and there's 14 non from people or non Jews there, then he seemingly would be allowed to drink inside. But okay. Fine, let's go further. So anyways we have a kula from the Ramah. Again, v'chein nogin l'hakel, that doesn't apply to any of our beers bizman hazeh. But the Gra is not very pleased with this, and the Gra number 13 writes, Kain Kasav Mordechai, that's the Mordechai Shita like we saw b'shem Rav Yo, b'shem Sefer Yashar. Aval kol poskim cholkin alze. All poskim argue on this Ramah, and the Gra was not a fan of the Shita and felt therefore one should not rely on this and not drink other alcoholic beverages.
There was a whole issue by Purim because they had all the wine there.
Yeah, that was
their biggest fault, right?
Yeah, the whole Suda, it's the entire Suda, but the wine was definitely part of that Suda.
The wine was the big deal.
Now, Pre-Chadosh takes this a step further. Right now, we've been talking about beer from a Tamarim, beer from Tavua. What about just regular drinks? An orange juice, an apple juice. What about that? Pre-Chadosh writes, quoting from the Beis Yosef, in the middle here of number 14, in the bold, He's quoting the basic Kesef Mishnah. Aval mashkin shel peros lo nichnesu tachas gzeira. Orange juice, apple juice, soda is not included in such a gzeira. Chada number one. Shame ban kirv das kolkach. Drinking a Coke with a coworker doesn't really create any relationship. You don't get these highs from the soda, obviously. The od shebizmana Talmud ikra shtia haya shecher. The gzeira was on the beer. Lefikach lo gazu ela alav aval lo al shar mashkin. Other drinks are not included. This is the shita of the Kesef Mishnah. But listen to this very strong language of the pre-chadish towards the bottom. Veina mechaver, actually, this doesn't appear to be correct to me. The Gemara lo hiskiru el sheicher. Only thing that the Gemara mentions is beer. Now, vim banu lomar, dilav dafka. If when the Gemara says beer, it doesn't mean really beer, only beer, it means all types of drinks. So then, yesh le'eser kol mashkim. So then we should prohibit all drinks. All drinks, including water, I would say. Orange juice, apple juice, soda. All drinks, vim bedafka. If when the Gemara said sheichar beer, so then it meant dafka beer. Then huskar sheichar minayin lanu lehosif made dvash. So how then the Rambam seems to indicate that honey-based beer would be bichal the iser? It's not mentioned in the Gemara. Either it means only sheichar, nothing else, or it means everything. How does Rambam say sheichar plus a few other categories which aren't mentioned? It's either all or nothing. So it says the pri chadash the linear ikker. It appears to me. The ikashit is the kol mine mashkim nichnesu tachas agzera. All drinks, that means the apple juice, orange juice, soda, perhaps water, is included in the gzera. That's the shita of the prichadash. It's a dig from the Rambam, because the Rambam says, if you go back to the previous page, I think this was, right? He had this line, v'chol shar mashkim. I think he had a line like this. I think it's a dig from the Rambam. Either way, he says that all types of drinks, sodas, oranges, apple juice, would be bichlal this iser. It's a chiddush, the prichadush, it's quoted in the poskim. Says the Birkei Yosef further, the chidah writes in number 15, he's talking about Hilchas Shabbos. If a non-Jew cooks coffee for you, makes coffee for you on Shabbos, it's aser. It's bishul Shabbos. You can't get hana from a melacha done for you by a goy. So he's talking about Shabbos, and look at what he writes. Just as a matter of fact, side point, he says, ha-kavi, coffee that is, she'oseh ha'akum b'Shabbos aser. Like we saw in the Gemara, this is talking about coffee, guys. Coffee made by non-Jew, that would include Starbucks and others. And he writes, someone who distances himself from drinking non-Jewish coffee, it's like you're separating from death to life. It's a pretty strong language of the Chida. So he thought it's pretty serious to drink non-Jewish coffee. Rav Yaakov Emden similarly also has very strong lashon. He's talking about the same concept of drinking coffee. This is in number 16. He writes, I'm going to just jump towards the bottom here, where he has a strong lashon, the last seven lines or so, of the Bizmaneim, it's in bold. Now, in Bizmaneim, kachich mirats atzman, b'gzeir l'gzeir. In the times of the Amoraim, rather, where they made a gzeir on beer, Mishum l'cha, amrina nazira, we tell a nazir to stay away from the vineyard. We don't want to get close to the drinking grapes, wine and eating grapes. Anu, bidor senu, our generation, this is a couple of hundred years earlier than now. In our generation, dipshita lo achshu dari, our door is not a kosher door. Alachas kama v'kama, how much more so? Sheesh lanu laharbos b'gzeros. How much more should we add on gzeros? Ki'ilu ligdor aperet, to fence, to close the gaps in the fence, so we shouldn't pay attention to other women. It's clear to me, says Rav Yaakov Emden, it's appropriate. Is there anything similar to this? He's talking about coffee. Aval, he writes, ma nasa, what could I do? It's not a good generation. Even if we scream all day long, no Starbucks. Lest the mishachpah, no one's going to pay attention to us. So Rav Yaakov Emden, the Birkei Yosef, and the Prichadash were quite stark on the position of drinking coffee, orange juice, apple juice, whatever it is you like with the non-Jews, again, in a non-Jewish establishment. Doesn't leave us with much room, guys. We have the Ramah. We still have the Ramah. L'chachos Adam was no lighter in his position either. Number 17, sorry to be so machmir. I'm just presenting this for you. I'm not telling you how to paskin. I'm just presenting the sheet. This is what to think about next time you consider what to do. But I'm not paskin anything. I'm just really showing some of the extreme positions to just balance things out.
Yeah, Yeah, but then you can always rely on the Chafetz Chaim, who has this lovely segment about how Yirei Shamayim Yachmir Al Atzmo.
Oh, well, let's take a look. The great segue to the Chachmas Adam. Beautiful. Chachmas Adam says in number 17, Aval roi l'chol baal nefesh l'harchik mizeh. He quotes a Pichadash. V'chol zeh b'sheyche shematzui, that's only regarding the beer that's found. Aval yain tepuchim v'shar peros, other types of fruit juices, whether it's orange juice or apple juice, mutter, the davar sheinu matzoi lo gazrinam, that was not common to be gozer. Now, nowadays it is common, but back then it wasn't. Now, I don't know if anybody goes out to drink an orange juice or apple juice with their coworkers or clients, but that wasn't common back then. V'chein coffee, v'shokolad, and mutter, lishos bibeis akum. Says the Chachmas Adam, you can drink coffee and chocolate, I guess chocolate, milk maybe, with the non-Jews. Ach, Bavanosenu Harabim, this also goes back a couple hundred years. He was also a Talmud of the Gra. Bizman hazeh, kama kilkulim ba'am mizeh. Many terrible things have happened. Ubifrat, lishos coffee, to drink coffee im chalav, shu iser gamor, he's referring to non-kosher milk. Mevad, aside from shayideze, chas v'shom ba lideiz nus, kiyadua, it's going to lead to other things as well. Al kain, kol ashe boreach, Torah, yarchuk mizeh. Anybody has a smell of Torah? I'm not sure how to categorize that. Yarchik, I assume everyone here has at least a Reach HaTorah, if not more. Milahikanesh lebatayim, to go into their houses, ulishtos eze mashker sheyeh. That's pretty stark. I'm sorry, I'm usually not this strong in my positions, but I'm just reading the Achronim here. We'll read one more interesting one before we get to maybe some kulas. The Darchei Tshuva. Number 18, the last few lines. Did the underlines show up in your marmakomos? I'm not sure if they did. Yeah, you see them? So if you look at Va'ayin Bekuntris Ha-Sma, I don't know where this is. The Sma is one of the Perushim on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, and he, as a Kuntris, which I don't know where this is found from, but he quotes, She'gazu she'shum adam lo yikva atzma bebate mishtal shel goyim. Don't establish yourself in a non-Jewish party room or party place. Va'kovei atzma, one who does establish himself, lishol sham, to drink there, to sit down and drink in a bar. Hu bechlal harekim, the empty people he's called. V'ha pochsim, v'lo yikarei b'shem rav v'chaver, he can lose his title being a rabbi and a chaver, tam chacham. V'lo yehelo shum minoy b'kehila ad kan lishol. Should not have any position, any office in the community. Pretty stark lashon of the Darchei Tshuva, Chachmas Adam, the Beis Yosef, the Birkei Yosef, and the Pri Chadash. So what kula, if any, do we have? So we have the kula of the Ramah, I said. Ramah says none of this applies bizman hazeh to our beer. It only applies to beer of tamarim, which again, I don't know if you could find. If you can find it, you probably wouldn't enjoy it. So there's no iser according to the Ramah bizman hazeh. That being said, one has to be very, very careful, of course. We have to look into the Pichadash Darchei Tshuva, how to balance it out. And each decision, each meeting should be discussed. You have to know yourself, know where you're going, discuss with a Rav. It's not a light matter at all. So there is one last kula here, and that's the which place is included in this Isser. So we quoted the Gemara earlier, Daf Lamed Aleph. I'll say it outside. This is number 19. Those who want to look inside. The Gemara says that Rav Papa would buy the beer from the bar and then step outside and drink it in the streets, because you're not, the Isser only is once you're inside the Beis Akum, the store, the bar, the house of the non-Jew. And Rav Achai was more machmir, he wouldn't drink the beer until he got home, he wouldn't drink it in the streets. So Tosas writes number 20, and we'll finish off with this. Mikol makom sh'neyem lo hayu shosin bebeis over kochavim. The common denominator, what they had in common was that they neither one drank inside this bar. Vimkain, if that's the case, tzarech lizayir shlo lishos sheicha bebeis ovid kochavim. You should not drink in this inside a house, a beer that is, inside a non-Jewish home. Umihu hamisachsein bebeis ovid kochavim, a person who's staying over as a guest, let's say he's in a hotel. It's a hotel, non-Jewish owned hotel. Yachol liyos shemutin lishloach beir liknos sheicha min ovid kochavim. Tavi kamo bebeisos shei Yisrael. You rent a room for the night and you have some beer sent to you, even though it's in a non-Jewish hotel, a non-Jewish establishment, there is a kula because you're living there. You're living there. That's your place for the night, for the few days. So then he writes, "Delo asu mishim chasas ela l'kvoa shtia b'chanes o b'regilas lishos b'beis ovetz kochavim." The only answer is if a person really establishes himself down. I don't know how to define koveh shtia b'chanus. I don't know how to define regilis b'davar. But he concludes, aval akrai ba'al mashari. If it's done only once in a while. I imagine nobody here is doing this on too much of a constant basis. Ba'akrai ba'alma, a person needs to go meet with an important client or a co-worker. Ba'akrai ba'alma, according to the Tosos, it would be permitted. That's the big kula. So we have kulas here in terms of, Rama says entirely this issa doesn't apply bisman hazeh, unless it's tzvul shatmarim, and we have ba'akrai ba'alma is another kula. That being said, it still has to be balanced out with the strong positions of the Darchei Tshuva, the Pri Chadash, the Chachos Ba'adam, that we don't want to build a relationship. We're building a business relationship, but not a friendship with the goyim, lest it lead to anything worse than that. All right, we'll stop here. Mir Tashem, next week we have the Hachnasa Sefer Torah. So the schedule is going to be, I'm going to be giving shir at 9:15, and then 10 o'clock, Rebbe will be giving shir, and then afterwards, those who want, at Richie Grossman, he's going to be hosting the Ksivas Osios, and then there's going to be the dancing in the shul. We'll have a whole simcha here. And so next week, in light of that, I'm going to give a special shir on Ksivas, the mitzvah of Ksivas Sefer Torah. Okay.